Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today Lions Wire, and this is the official Lions podcast of USA Today Lions Wire. Eric, everybody has backed up on episodes of our podcast. That's not due to them. It's due to us. We had some technical difficulties leading after Saturday's podcast. We got it all figured out now, hopefully. Because if we don't, nobody's going to hear this anyways.
Well, it's nice of you to just go ahead and fix that glitch there. And I think the...
Yeah, don't let anybody know about it. The glitch is fixed.
So, yeah, we're on to consistency, let's hope. And now that the website has been corrected, and away we go. Let's get the people what they want to hear.
All right, yeah. Let's start with the injury report, as always. Number one, Mike Daniels with his foot. No Wednesday or Thursday practice.
Yeah, I guess maybe we should preface this with the fact that because the Lions play on Monday Night Football this week.
Oh, yeah, I guess we'd better note that.
We should.
Showdown for first.
Right, so they have practice on Wednesday and Thursday, which is typical. But then on Friday, they're doing a walkthrough. And then they're going to have a practice on Saturday, which they typically don't have. So then Sunday will be off travel day. Monday they play on ESPN. So the schedule is a little bit wonky. And because the schedule is a little bit off, the practice schedule is also a little bit off. The participation levels of the players are a little bit off. So some of these things are a little bit quirky. But what's not quirky is the fact that Mike Daniels is
still out.
Yes, not practicing. And because he's not practicing, that's probably bad news for him to get a chance to get his revenge on the Packers in Lambeau. You know, when you're 300 pounds and your game relies on explosion, a foot injury can really hamper your ability to contribute. So my guess is he's probably going to miss. But you never know, he could turn it around, but I'm leaning against him not making this game.
All right, surprising name on the list, Damon Harrison.
Yeah, which he sat out Wednesday, and there was no injury. Because the Lions are only required to put out three injury reports, and they're practicing four times, they elected to put out a practice report for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So he didn't practice Wednesday. We didn't get a injury report from the team on Wednesday, so there was just a lot of speculation on what might be happening. Turns out he doesn't have an injury at all. He's not even listed on the injury report. So looks like a rest day. So keep this in mind. Mike Daniels is injured, probably not going to play. Now they're resting Harrison because they're going to need those big hog mollies up front. And then that kind of leads us into the next couple of injuries.
A'shaun
Robinson.
Oh, Robinson, excuse me.
Yeah, Robinson has a knee. Now, he practiced on Wednesday, and he's not practicing on Thursday. So the knee issue is something we haven't heard about prior to this. Could it have happened yesterday on Wednesday, and that's why he's missing today's practice? Very much. Could it have happened previously, and this is just kind of a rest day, and they just think, hey, his knee's the thing that's bothering him the most, so that's what they put on the injury report? Well, yeah, it's very possible he could just be getting a rest day as well, because, like we just said, they just gave a rest day to Harrison, so it's possible they're resting A'shaun Robinson. We'll know more on if he practices on Saturday. Because, like I said, the walkthrough on Friday isn't going to tell us anything. Saturday's practice will be the real linchpin for us to know about A'shaun Robinson's status. So, unfortunately, we got to wait.
All right, staying along the defensive line, D'Shawn Hand.
So, Hand practiced as much as he's practiced since getting injured. He had his first full contact drills on Wednesday. He was very heavily involved. And now he's not practicing on Thursday. So again, this looks like a rest period for him, just like the opposite. They're just alternating days between him and snacks. It's possible he's going to return. Like we talked about last podcast, the fact that they released two defensive tackles from the practice squad speaks to the fact that Hand is contributing more during the portions of practice that are not open to the media. And so it sure does look like he's on his way back and could play this Monday. It's more realistic now than I think it's ever been.
All right, Quandre Diggs, the hamstring.
This one's a little trickier because he's been limited, and not just limited, but very limited, both days in practice this week. Walkthrough's not going to tell us anything tomorrow, so we'll find out more on Saturday. And this one's a little bit tricky. You'd like to have him back, because if you don't, you're relying on Tavon Wilson and the rookie Harris, which is not as ideal, of course, as the, you know, the captain Quandre Diggs.
Darius Slay.
He's getting better. We talked about him last week, too. The fact that he was a true game-time decision last week. He looks fine. He looks like he's going to be ready to go. So encouraging signs that he should return for a potential big matchup with Davante Adams.
Amani Orwarier.
He, when you get to these back end of the roster guys that aren't starters, it's a lot harder to identify if they're in or out or if they're just not at practice at all. And so he was kind of overlooked, I guess. But realistically, if Slay is back, Orwarier is probably back to be
DNP.
Yeah, exactly. He'll probably be a game day inactive, and then that. But with the knee, I think the only downside of this is this could potentially limit some development. But other than that, he wasn't likely to be a contributor this week.
Flipping over to the offensive side of the ball, T.J. Hockenson still in the protocol.
Yeah, and that's, again, not unexpected because of the way the protocol works, right? So you've got the concussion, and then you have to get evaluated. You have to rest. You have to go through some light aerobic exercises. Then you have to add some strength training in. You're not allowed back on the field until you pass all of those with medical supervision. Once you pass all of those and you get onto the field, you have to have one limited practice and then get approved by a doctor. So that more than likely happened yesterday on Wednesday. The last step is to have a more physically exhausting practice and then get cleared, not by the team doctor, but by an outside doctor. And so when we, up until we're recording this podcast here, he could
Today's
have gone
Thursday, by the way.
And he could have gone through steps 4 and 5, which are those two practice days. But then after practice, he could be visiting that doctor to be fully cleared from the concussion protocol. So technically, at the time of this recording, he has still not technically cleared the concussion protocol. It's possible he has, and we just won't know about it. And again, we probably won't know about it until Saturday. Or Patricia does have a press conference tomorrow, so we might find out that he might announce it at the press conference. My guess is we won't hear till Saturday.
Well, we need him back. We need our full contingent of playmakers, which leads us into Danny Amendola.
He looks better, too. He looks like he's being limited right now just because the chest injury is still bothering him. But I believe he should return, which is good for the offense.
And finally, Matthew Stafford with his hip.
Look, he played every snap against the Chiefs. He had an extra week to rest. He's practicing in full. He's good to go.
Has he just basically now become the Ziggy Ansah on the injury report?
No, because he's actually going to play.
Well, he's actually going to play. Good point.
Yeah.
and although Ziggy Ansah not on the Seattle injury report for this week.
But he didn't, I mean.
I don't think, yeah, he missed some time.
Has he even played yet? I don't know if he's.
Yeah, he's played a couple snaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I have not paid attention.
Not a lot of roster moves. They've added running back Wes Hills and released Eric Lee. I'm surprised.
Yeah, a little bit surprised that they continue to shed defenders on the practice squad, which points to the fact that even though there is a laundry list of defenders that are listed on this practice squad, the fact that they continue to lose defenders on the practice squad is a good sign that the injuries aren't maybe as severe as they look on paper. So that's a good sign for the overall health of the defense. Hills is an undrafted rookie. He played most of his ball at Delaware, two-time captain at Delaware, transferred to Slippery Rock, and went to the NFLPA game, was the MVP of the NFLPA game. Then with the East-West, Shrine Bowl, got injured. That kept him out of the Shrine Bowl. That kept him out of the Combine. He's basically just like a big bruiser. He's a guy that they're going to look, he's made
take a
it,
look at.
Yeah, he's made it 2 days. So that's better than some of the other running backs they've added to the practice squad in recent weeks.
Poor Zach Zenner flying all over the country trying out for teams.
Yeah, well, best of luck to him, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think his time in Detroit is done, and I know a lot of Lions fans don't like to hear that.
I don't. But it's fine if he never comes back, but I thought he would. They would have brought him back at some point.
Yeah,
the season's not over yet.
When they got Paul Perkins instead of him, that's kind of when
the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We talked about the Chiefs last week in the bye week episode, so we're not going to talk about the Chiefs game. But we will now dig into the Green Bay Packers. As I mentioned earlier, it's a battle for first place. The Packers are currently 4-1, Lions 2-1-1, famously. The Vegas line, Green Bay, favored by 4.5, right in that Vegas zone. Because they should at least get 3 points because they're up at Lambeau Field. They're getting the extra point and a half. You would think it would grow by game time.
It's actually diminished. It opened at
6. It was 6 or 6.5. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think the initial lines were riding high off of a big beatdown of the Cowboys, which were, I think they were, 3-1 going into that game?
Yeah.
And they were looking really strong.
They're up 31-3.
No, but I mean, the Dallas was 3-1
Dallas
as well.
Yeah, Dallas was also 3-1.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, they looked very good against Dallas, and I think that was a big factor why it opened so big, but they quickly brought those numbers back down to a more realistic 4.5, I think.
All right, the referee is going to be Cleet Blakeman, 14.5 penalties per game, a little bit under the NFL average.
Hey.
We've been hitting under average these last few games.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Or at least close to average.
Yeah.
Of course, TV, it's going to be televised nationally on Monday Night Football, so all 50 states will get a chance to see the Lions play. Last week, as you mentioned, the Packers beat the Cowboys in Dallas, and quite convincingly, even though Dallas made a little bit of a comeback at the end.
Yeah, the game ends up coming down to the fact that with about a little over two minutes left, Dallas has a chance to kick a field goal to go within 7. And then they would attempt an onside kick to try and get the ball back and then miss the field goal.
Botch the field goal.
Yeah. Like, well, ironically, they hit it.
Yeah, he made the first one.
And then there's a penalty, so they go back 5 yards. And it was still like under 40 yards.
Short field goal.
38 or something like that. Yeah, it was one he should not have missed and did. And that sealed the game. But it was a very interesting game. And when we go through this roster, I'll bring up some points from that game that stuck out to me that make me believe that the Lions are going to have a totally different approach than the Cowboys did.
Well, we'll start with the man who needs no introduction, Aaron Rodgers.
Man, when you don't watch him every week, you forget how much of a crybaby he is. He just complains like all the time. And you know what? More power to
the Golden
him.
Boys.
Yeah, and I guess if it works, more power to him. But oh my gosh, he just complains. And it's just constant. And I think when you're on Monday night, in front of a national audience, at home, that complaining tends to pay off.
Sure.
And I think that's something the Lions will really have to be cautious of late in the games, that they are playing clean football. That's going to be a key because he's going to complain all game, and it's going to eventually start wearing down Cleet Blakeman and his crew. And the Lions will have to make sure that they are keeping their house in order. And not putting any questionable calls out there on the field to try and allow them to listen to the complaints and then start throwing those yellow flags around. So that's it. We know who he is. We know what he can do.
He's got a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett calling the play. Well, Matt LaFleur probably calls the plays,
right,
but Nathaniel Hackett's helping him out.
Yeah, there's a lot of different diversity in the scheme. There's a lot of pre-snap motion, which is designed to uncover
zone or man coverage,
right? And then to also show like matchups and exploit that. But when you listen to Patricia talk about it, and when you think about the fact that they have had now, they're going to have had 15 days to prepare for this game. He's going to know how to disguise that, and he's going to have a plan in order to where he's going to not have a guy run across. you know, when they put a guy in motion, he's going to not have a guy run across. So they think zone, and then at the snap, they're going to jump into man. And because I think that they match up well, and they'll be able to do things like that. They'll be able to show zone concepts and drop into man. They'll be able to show man concepts and drop into zone. They'll be able to actually play like man underneath and zone over the top. There's a lot of different things that they can do to throw that disguise back at him. And you can tell by listening to Patricia talk about some of these pre-snap motions and just, you know, run game concepts and passing game concepts. He has done a ton of homework on this game, and I think he will have his defense prepared to anticipate and then offset some of these things that work real well for LaFleur.
The running backs, Aaron Jones, last week he pulled the Al Bundy and scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game.
Man, he looks sharp, right? And my the first section in my Honolulu blueprint will be take away the right Aaron. And I think you have to take away Aaron Jones, not Aaron Rodgers. And I'm expecting them to have a game plan where they're going to focus on stopping the run, pushing Aaron Rodgers into being one-dimensional.
Well, that's what they did last season, and that's how they got wins.
Yep. And I think when we get past Aaron Jones here, I want to spend a little bit more time on Aaron Jones, but when we get past Aaron Jones here and we start talking about the other skill players, we'll talk about how Rodgers doesn't have good chemistry with them and how if you can take Aaron Jones out of the picture, then this becomes a very winnable game where you can frustrate Rodgers, and a frustrated Rodgers is how you beat the Packers, right? But Aaron Jones is going to be no easy task. He like you said, he had 4 touchdowns. He's got 8 on the season, leads the NFL. I think he's 2 ahead of everybody else. His games on the season, he's had another 100-yard game earlier in the year. He also had 75 yards in the air, right, as well. Like, they use him on screen passes. They were very creative in how they got him the ball because the Cowboys had no answer for him, and they didn't adjust. Rod Marinelli did not find a way to adjust to Aaron Jones. And I don't think that, again, will be a case here with Patricia. But Jones was very good. And if you don't recall going back to when he was drafted, he was my sleeper running back in that draft class. And I begged for the Lions to take him. And when he went to Green Bay, that was really heartbreaking because I you could see the potential with him. And I'm excited for him as a person because I got the chance to talk to him. And he's a good guy. But I hope that they go after him this week and they shut him down. Now, his backup, Jamal Williams, missed last week with a concussion. He's back. He is probably going to be available, which gives them even more dynamic options in the backfield. But really, Aaron Jones is the key guy. He's going to get the snap. He's going to get the ball between 60 and 70% of the time, and they're going to have to really game plan to shut him out, or as much as possible, I guess.
All right, moving on to the wide receiver core. Devontae Adams might not play on Monday. In fact, many of your fantasy sites are saying he won't.
Yeah, and he's talking like he won't, right? He's talking about how he still doesn't feel right. And toe injuries, like foot injuries, can be they're bad until they aren't, right? And maybe he has some sort of recovery, but it's one of those things that it's usually not something that happens overnight. It's usually something that happens very slowly. And if he's not ready, they're talking about him not wanting to hurt him for the long-term season. They're talking about he might have to rest so that he's not injured later. And if they're talking about that, that sure sounds like a guy who's not going to play. If he plays, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league. You know, him and Slay always have great matchups. They typically put Slay on him. But as we saw in week 2 against Keenan Allen, there's some issues when Slay travels into the slot with Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams usually gets the better of him. I'd be interested to see if they, with how well Justin Coleman's playing, if they would then switch when he moves into the slot and Coleman takes him one-on-one. I do think that that's a strategy I would personally take, especially with Slay coming off a hamstring injury. I would split duties outside Slay, inside Coleman. But if he might not even play. And if he doesn't play, that means Marquez Valdes-Scandlin is their top option. Last week, he played 95% of their snaps. One catch, 18 yards. And it has fans screaming for a trade. They're like, we're in a good spot. We need an offensive skill players because Davante Adams can't do it alone. And if he's injured, we have to trade to get a receiver because Scandlin isn't it. And we're not seeing it from Geronimo Allison, who cost them the Eagles game, essentially. And the other guys are young, and there's a couple, there's like a rookie, another rookie on there, right? And they don't have a lot of options at the wide receiver position. And so if you focus on taking Aaron Jones away, they have Davante Adams and then an aging Jimmy Graham.
Aging Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. And
aging Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah. And to the point where these guys need rest during the week in order to be able to play on
it's been a long
weekend.
Career.
Right. And it's been a very fabulous career, but these are not the players that they used to be. And so this is a Jimmy Graham that a Tracy Walker can man up on, right? This is a if you can focus like your front five on trying to take away Aaron Jones, man up Davante Adams, man up Jimmy Graham, let the rest of the guys kind of one-on-one it, and then just say, all right, you know, we're going to play man coverage and see how long you can sustain against our front five. And I think that's the game plan. And when you look at their offensive line, they have some really good offensive tackles.
David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga.
Bulaga hasn't surrendered a single sack all year. He's been real good at keeping pressures off. Bakhtiari has committed more penalties than he's accustomed to, but he's still a very good left tackle. Elgin Jenkins, their left guard, is their second-round pick. Very good. I like what I saw from him. But their center got hurt, and he was concussed, and they had to go to their backup. Billy Turner hasn't been playing as well. And so there's opportunities for this defensive line if the Lions' defensive line is healthy. And I think they're getting this rest period because they want them to be healthy, and they're like giving them these times off during the week because they want to be able to push these guys around out front. And I think you can do that. I wouldn't be surprised to see a bare front, right? Which means Trey Flowers at the 3-5, at one of the like 3-5 techniques, Snacks at the 0, either Ashawn or Dushon at the other 3-5, and then Kennard on an edge and Christian Jones up on an edge, and then just like let those five kind of use that bare front and try and push these guys around. The big key, though, is going to be they have to be gap discipline. One of the reasons that they were able to run so easily on Dallas was the gap integrity from the Cowboys was garbage. Like, they were getting run out of plays. They were over-pursuing. They were allowing themselves to get pinned. They were bumping into each other. Like, it's really hard for them to get anything going against the run game. And so the Lions will have, if they want to stop Aaron Jones, they have to be gap sound against this offensive line, which I think they can. One more key that I want to add here is that the running backs run a little bit loose with the ball, I noticed. Doesn't matter which one was on the field, whether it was Jones or a Trey Carson or whoever. When they would get open or get some space and they get past the line, they got real kind of loosey-goosey with the ball. And when they get loosey-goosey like that, we saw how effective the Lions defenders were by punching the ball out. I think that's if they need to try and keep that going. Every time that ball is available, they need to start throwing those haymakers at it and try and knock it loose. That'll be another big key, because right now the Packers are staying successful because they're winning the turnover battle. And I think the Lions have to keep that peanut punch going.
What do you think about the pass rush? We weren't able to generate much against the Chiefs at 0 sacks. Mm-hmm.
I'm not as worried about the pass rush in this game because I don't think you should blitz him, okay? I think if you blitz Rodgers, he's going to burn you. I think you can rush four and stay gap sound and like rush him on your way while you're stopping the run on your way to him. And that'll be okay because I think the coverage has been so good on the back end that you're going to create a lot of pressure just through good coverage.
All right. Moving on to the defensive side of the football, Mike Pettine's defense. He takes care of business over there in Green Bay. They gave up all 24 of their points in the second half against the Cowboys. And as you mentioned, 21 in the last 17 minutes as they frantically tried to come back from the 31-3 deficit.
Yeah, they had Dallas on the ropes the whole time. And then all of a sudden, Dallas started getting a little bit of life and a little bit of life. And then all of a sudden, when they got that little bit of life, their defense started to fall apart pretty quickly. And especially in the secondary. The Packers' defense up front is very improved, and they put up some very interesting and impressive stats up front. I know people are really raving about the Packers on the back end and their coverage and that being a big difference for them, but I think they're susceptible. I think they're going to have a hard time matching up against the skill players that the Lions have. So, you know, one of the reasons that they were able to hold Dallas down was because they took away Ezekiel Elliott for the most part, or at least, you know, they kept his numbers minimal, and then they put up points on their own. When they got a big lead, Dallas went away from Elliott completely. And when they went away from him and they just threw, the Packers could just pin their ears back and rush the passer and then just play coverage, and Dallas had no answer for that, and that became a big problem. So one of the next key here for the Lions is they need to do what they've been doing and get out to an early lead. If they can get out to an early lead again, then they don't become one-dimensional like the Cowboys did, and that will allow the defense to have to respect the run, and it should slow their pass rush down a little bit.
All right, guys, on the defensive line, include Dean Lowry, Kenny Clark, and Montrevious Adams.
Now, Kenny Clark is a very impressive specimen, right? He's their nose tackle, but he plays like almost 90% of their snaps, which is like insane.
It's right? A lot for a big guy.
And now he's built like a 5 technique, right? So he's like right at like 300 pounds. He's not like a 330-pound like snacks, right? But for what he has to do on the inside, it's an impressive amount of snaps for him not to leave the field.
Now, I mean, that's why he weighs 305. A little better shape.
Right. Now, they've had some injuries to some other defensive linemen, and part of that is what has led to him being on the field a lot. They play like a modified 3-4. Right, and Kenny's their nose, and then they use 2-3-5 techniques in Dean Lowry and Montrevious Adams. But with Adams's injury, they basically only played 1-5 technique most of the game, and then allowed their stand up edge rushers to be more like defensive ends, and so they ended up only rushing 4. But yeah, Clark is a very stout player on that defensive line that I don't think it's as much credit as he probably deserves.
They don't use a lot of defensive linemen.
No, because they're edge rushers, they're technically considered linebackers, but they line up kind of like jack linebackers.
They include Rashawn Gary as one of them.
Yeah, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Rashawn Gary are all listed as linebackers, but they're all basically like defensive ends. They're all considered edge rushers, but the scheme calls them linebackers, but you're only using like one or two down linemen, and then those guys are your outside guys. So,
and according to this, they really teed off on the Cowboys once they abandoned the run.
Oh yeah, big time, right? But it's not just the Cowboys. It's they've been getting consistent pressure all season. I think I believe they are the number one team and getting pressure with only sending 4 players, right? So if you're not blitzing and you're only sending your 4, they get pressure on like a third of the snaps. It's a very impressive statistic. And a lot of that is because of the key additions of Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. Preston Smith is a little bit more flexible. He's kind of like their jack linebacker because he can drop into coverage really legit. whereas Zadarius is more of a traditional defensive end where he's pass rushing almost exclusively. But both of them are very good. They've been very successful this year.
Great off-season signings. A lot of people question when teams spend big money on free agency. And they spent a lot on the Smiths, Zadarius and Preston. It's really paying off so far.
Yeah, this was one of those situations when we were looking at, if they don't go after Trey Flowers, will the Lions go after one of those guys? And the Packers got them both. And that was a very impressive move.
Coup.
Yeah, to land them both. Because they're both very good players. It's going to be a problem for Wagner and Decker to try and handle them one-on-one, which is why I think we're going to see more two tight end sets, and we're going to see a lot of chips from the tight ends. We're going to see some straight blocks from the tight ends, and don't be surprised to see Kenny Golladay and like the other slot receivers do that kind of block down on the defensive end that they've been very successful at. They're going to find ways to try and slow the Smiths down. That's going to be a huge game plan on offense.
All right, we're going to see also Blake Martinez, maybe Oren Burks playing the off-the-ball linebacker spot.
Both those guys are more speedy guys than coverage guys than run stuffers, but they've done well so far. Oren Burks is kind of like a Tahir Whitehead, remember, you know, like how Tahir was kind of,
yeah.
he was good, he was a good athlete, he was an impressive body of a body player, but he
body
was
like, of a football player.
Yeah, but he wasn't like
the greatest football player
in any specific one area, you know what I mean? But he was good. Burks reminds me a lot of him. Martinez is, like I said, that he's kind of a coverage guy, he's going to be out there all the time. And with them only rushing four, that allows Martinez to play in coverage a lot, which is really where his strength is, and really Burke's strength, I guess, as well. So when they want to go bigger, they can add B.J. Goodison, who's a former Giants starter. He's more of a downhill run stuffer, but their linebackers are okay. The big change has been they're finally starting to get some production out of their secondary.
All right, yep. Now that you're talking about the secondary, we move to the secondary, which you think could be a weak spot, and we could point it out the numbers Jair Alexander gave up last week, gave up a big day to Amari Cooper. We'll see a lot of him. He'll be on the field all the time, but we'll see a bevy of the rest of the cast of characters led by Kevin King.
Yeah, and so Kevin King has been hurt, right? So Jari's on one side, Kevin King's on the other, but he's been hurt, so they have Tremont Williams who can play outside and in the slot. Tony Brown's been hurt. He also was out again this week in practice, so he may not play. But, you know, Tremont Williams, like Jimmy Graham, he's in the twilight of his career, right? And so he's a guy that is a good player, but how long can he last in those situations? I think he's played well. Kevin King has a lot of potential, but there's some obvious flaws in his game still. He's still learning, but I think his ceiling will be high. Jari is playing very well. I mean, but when Cooper started to win against him, the kind of floodgates opened. Cooper, 11 receptions, 226 yards. That's a ton. You know, I mean, that's just a ton. And so, you know, Jari did get an interception. They had three of them last week, but again, the interceptions Dak was throwing last week are not plays that Stafford misses on or hasn't missed on, I guess, in the first four games, right? It wasn't the same style of play. So I didn't put too much stock into the types of plays in which the turnovers were caused. But if you put Jari on a guy and let's say he can man up on Marvin, well, I don't know and they have another guy who can man up on Kenny Golladay. And if you want to put Jari on Kenny Golladay, I don't know if they have a guy who can man up on Marvin. So there's going to be a receiver that's probably going to have an advantage when they get on the field. Now, can their tight end or can their linebackers or safeties handle Hockenson? I don't know if they have a way that they can. Now,
Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, Will Redmond, they're the safeties.
Now, Amos is terrific, but he's a free safety. You don't see him manning up against Hockenson so much.
We need him out there on the field first.
That is but Savage is the guy that they usually ask to He's their first round pick. They had Gary first round pick, and Savage was their other first round pick. Savage was playing very well, and he is a guy who I think would be a nice matchup for Hockenson. Still give the advantage to Hockenson, but Savage is a good player. But he got hurt, and he had to leave the game early, and he was in a boot, and he still hasn't practiced this week. So it's possible Savage misses this game. And if he misses this game, now you have a good opportunity now with Hockenson. So now you have two options in the passing game, and we haven't even talked about a slot receiver, and Amendola should really – I don't know if they have a guy who can cover Amendola, to be honest. And so you're going to have some options out there for the Lions to pass to. But I don't think really passing is going to be where they want to start. They're going to want to control this game, keep Rodgers on the bench, which means they're going to still go and try and run the ball. So they're still going to go after – I think you're going to see a similar game plan to what we've seen the last couple of weeks, which is, you know, what are they attacking? And we'll just attack somewhere else. Because I don't know if there's going to be an answer everywhere. They have players. They have great players. They have players that are playing very well and playing above where they were expected to. But the Lions also have a whole bunch of skill players that have been playing equally as well. Just it just depends on if you take one away, they go to the next one. And which next one is going to be the guy that turns himself up or that becomes open? We'll see who that is, I guess, on Monday.
Special teams. Mm-hmm. Mason Crosby, the longtime kicker. We know him well.
Yeah.
J.K. Scott's the punter and the holder. We've seen him a lot, too, over the years. Darius Shepherd will return kicks. Tremont Smith returned kicks. Darius Shepherd returns punts.
Will Redmond is the guy who came on for Darnell Savage. He's a good special teamer as well. He's their safety. He had a couple of really good plays. I thought he played well in absence, but again, matching Redmond up against one of the Lions tight ends, I don't think is ideal. They're going to have to be creative because Amos is a good player, and he's probably going to shadow somebody, so we'll see. I think there's going to be options out of the slot. That's going to be key this week.
Sean Menenga is a special teams coordinator. I don't know what he's up to. So who knows? They're usually very well coached, as you remember in the past. It's sure. Probably not the same guy, but that's when they caught the kickoff while straddling the out-of-bounds marker, which, of course, put the ball near midfield.
One of the things that I read was that their kickoff coverage has been suspect this year.
And that helps us.
And that they are actually worried that the Lions have a better kick return team than the Packers do kick coverage team. So this could be keep an eye on Jamal Agnew type of game. Because there's some genuine... Look, when you read the Packers stuff, just like the Kansas City, the writers love this team. They are just... The Packers are back, and everything's
great. They're a public team.
And that's... But I mean, like, they just... It seems like the writers are part of that public team. Like,
sure.
Because it's the Packers. They're one of the six.
See, but you, right? You've read articles on the University of Michigan football team. It's a very similar thing.
Okay, I agree with that.
It was the greatest quarterback room maybe ever at Michigan this offseason. It's true. I read that article. I took a picture of it.
I agree that... You have that same level. I don't want to call it homerism, but that's a fitting word, I guess.
It's not even necessarily homerism. It's just that's how people treat these teams.
Well, I read the actual Packers lead beat writer, or not beat writer, would be their lead staff writer. He did like a Q&A, and I read his Q&A, and
total propaganda piece.
It kind of. Right? It's just how great that someone asked him what was the best offseason addition the Lions made, and he said, it looks like Kerryon Johnson and Kenny Galladay are starting to come into their own. And I was like, Trey Flowers, Justin Cole, like, it's like so he didn't even
Mike
know.
Daniels. She was a Packer. They picked up a Packer, of course.
Right. But Man, do they think the Packers are just walking on water. They're coming off that high win. It's been
true for a long time.
No, but I mean, like, they were, we saw them be down on them a little bit more recently. Like,
they had a bad year last year.
But they're acting like haven't the Lions won the last five?
I thought it was four, but maybe it's five.
Right? Mm-hmm. But they're acting like none of that matters. They're acting like...
No, they don't when it has mattered. The Packers have always won.
The last five haven't mattered? You know what I mean?
Well, remember a few years ago when they were playing the last game for the division title and it said, there's no way the Packers are losing this game. Yeah,
but that's... Okay, but when we're talking about recent...
Those are the games that matter to me. Well, yes, they all matter, but then some of them are for, like, all the cards. Mm-hmm. Playoff game in 94. The playoff game in 93.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think... My point is I think the Lions are still being somewhat underestimated, and I think they like it that way. You know, they're starting to get some national love in, like, the power rankings and whatnot, and we'll see if that's deserved, right? They're in the top. Except for USA Today, which has them at 4. Everyone else has them between, like, 10 and 14. Right, and that's fine, and so the Packers are up in the top 5.
Yeah,
and, like,
all, well, they're 4-1,
and so this is going to be a good game. This should be one of the better games.
I hope so.
Of the week. On paper, it looks like one of the better games of the week. And so, if the Lions beat the Packers,
first place.
Yeah, but I mean, I think this game, if they win this game, it changes a lot of the national narrative, sure. And it changes a lot of the way that people look at this team. Now, if they lose, it could go the opposite way.
Well, if they lose, it's likely, well, not necessarily likely, because it depends on what the Bears, back in last place again, and sitting at 2-2, staring at,
Well, and
really
then
got a rally
and we have the Vikings next week. Yeah. Now, the schedule gets easier after that, but these next two division games are going to be very critical.
Massive.
And this one in particular,
massive.
Is big on a national level, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, they might, if they can win this game, then everybody's going to start thinking they're up to something.
All right.
You know, that they've got something going for them. Well, if they don't, things start looking not so good again. This is a very pivotal game in the development of the Quinn-Patricia regime. Very pivotal.
Well, you know, we talk about, like, I mean, look, Patricia puts up the a game plan against the Chiefs. He shows you how to beat them. Then Indy adapts that same game.
I know, well, that might get some people concerned. Well, Indy usually beat them, mm-hmm. and then beat them in Kansas City on top of it.
Right, and the same thing happened with the Rams. They showed the league how to beat the Rams, and the Rams still were able to get all the way to the Super Bowl, but the blueprint was there, and then the Patriots showed us how it's really done, right? Patricia is, when you give him time, when you give him this much time, in 7 days, he can figure out how to beat the Chiefs. They fumble twice in the red zone. You don't fumble twice, that's a massive, look, if Kerryon doesn't fumble, that's a 14-point swing. Right there.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Right.
But it's the game.
But my point is if you don't make these mistakes, then, yes, the mistakes are what cost them the game. We've talked about this, right? But they know how to do it. And
they just
got to
do it. Exactly. That's the problem.
Right.
So often they just haven't done it.
But we've seen them putting it together this year with only two hiccups in that whole thing. So I'm excited for it. I think this is a very winnable game for the Lions. In my preseason predictions, I picked this as a win for the Lions. I'm not going to move off that right now.
Wow.
I'm sticking with the Lions going to win this game. I don't have a good score. I got to think about it for a second. But I'm picking the Lions to win. I would say, what's the over-under in this
4.5. Oh, over-under?
It's like 46 or something, right? Or 45. So a 24-21 game seems like realistic. I've been calling real tight games, though. That's the thing. I've been saying like one-point games a lot. I'm going to call a Lions victory I'm going to give him, I'm going to call it 24-21. So I'm going to say Lions 24-21.
All right. Well, the transitive property of football would state that since the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions defeated right. the Philadelphia Eagles, that the Lions should come up victorious in this game. But I don't think so, because this could be another Lambeau Field can turn back into a house of horrors for this team.
It's going to be 40 degrees or something like that.
Yeah, see, that doesn't bode well for the Lions either. I'm going to go Green Bay 28, the Lions 21.
So we should mention last week with our Kansas City prediction that we predicted each were off by 3 points, which means that no one wins. We tie.
Everyone loses.
Right. So on the plus side, our first two seasons doing this, we both ended up 8-8 in both seasons. Now with a tie, sure looks like somebody's going to win between us this year,
unless
right?
we get another tie.
Right. Right. But so what are we at? I have two, you have one, and we have one tie. So I'm the Lions in this scenario right now. So
all right. Let's squeeze some questions in here before we run out of time. We're Please. Running short on time.
Oh, okay.
Jordan Pappas, any player do you think will start to blossom as the season continues? Pappas.
Pappas sounds right.
All right.
Whenever you have a guy that's coming off an injury and they don't look like they're contributing at the way they should, I think they can develop into bigger. You've seen it happen with Trey Flowers, so I'm not going to pick Flowers because I think that would be, you know, like kind of a cop-out too easy because he's already starting to blossom. I'm tempted to say Kerryon because I think he's going to evolve, or maybe like even a Ty Johnson. I'm going to put my eggs in a basket and say I hope it's Jared Davis. Coming off an injury, you know, he's big responsibility. He's been lacking a little bit, but I think the potential for him in this scheme, when they start putting more healthier guys in front of him, I think his arrow's going to point up.
All right, Dustin Blackwell asks, in the offseason, Bevel said he was going to have Stafford do things he wasn't comfortable with, but Stafford looks pretty comfortable in this offense. So what do you think he was talking about?
I think it's like they did some pistol, they did some RPO. Those were some things that he hasn't done in the past. I think it was mostly about that. They're pushing the ball down the field, but I think he's comfortable with that. I just think it's some stuff he hadn't done in the previous few years. So, you know, I think what he's doing now was different enough from the last 3 years that he might call that uncomfortable from what he's used to.
All right, One Pride asks, how is the situation in the backfield after the release of C.J. Anderson? Who is the number two, and what do the Lions expect?
So I think, Kerryon's the number one, and he's getting around like between 65 and 70% of snaps, and I think that's too many. I think they want to reduce that, and that means the number two...
They need Ty Johnson to be the answer, to be the answer to the first question, and hope he starts to blossom.
Yep, and then you're going to add McKissick in. I have said it a few times.
Gadget guy.
I think McKissick is what they wanted Theo Riddick to be because he can actually run the ball as well as being the gadget guy. But when they want a pure number two runner, that is Ty Johnson. And I do think Ty Johnson is going to get more carries as the season progresses because I don't think they want to expose Kerryon to as many hits at the beginning of the season here anyway.
All right, One Pride's other question. How would you explain the problems in our run defense? Is it just Snacks who is struggling?
It's not just Snacks, but Snacks is really the catalyst, right? He's the guy that makes this whole thing flow. But you need to be able to be gaps.
He's the straw that stirs the milkshake.
Exactly. But, you know, missing Daniels is hurt. Missing Deshaun Hand has hurt. Flowers took a little while to get caught up because of injury. Jared Davis took a little while to get caught up because of injury. So there's a lot of these things from an injury standpoint that is also factored into it. But you know, as they get healthier, that should improve. And as they, I think that they'll become more gap sound as they settle in.
Devadi asks, what's happening with Jared Davis? Why so subdued?
Yeah, I think it's just the injury thing. I think he's just coming back from that. Plus, they used him in KC as a spy, which means they just wanted him to just flow where Mahomes did, and so that limits his ability to impact the game in a lot of ways.
Scott Marquard, Eric Anderson, and Jason all ask similar questions. Knowing the Lions have played spread teams, it seems like Tavine needs to be on the field. Do you see the defense rotation changing with the schedule? Who do you think gets more playing time?
I do think they want to get Tavine on the field more. Christian Jones has been playing well. It's just going to take the right circumstances. They're going typically with the second rounders, the coaching staff will work them in slow and then increase them in their snaps in the second half. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. So Tavine still needs a little bit more experience, but he's too good to keep on the bench. So I think just the natural ebb and flow will get him on the field more.
Brandon Kerr, what players are switched out to go from offense that may be in a hurry-up mode to special teams for a field goal?
It's basically
get all the tight ends out there.
Yeah, you've got your same core offensive lineman, but you sub out your center for your long snapper. And then you're going to have at least one tight end. If you might have two or three, you need to get another offensive lineman out there. And so you're basically subbing your skill players for tight ends and offensive linemen. And then you're subbing out your quarterback and your running back for your kicker and your holder. So if you have tight ends out there already, the only guys that are running on the field are long snapper, kicker, holder, offensive lineman, and maybe maybe an additional tight end or somebody that wasn't out there before.
All right, real quick, Wallet Big Bag Daddy asks, with currently 23 of the 34 drafted players in the current squad and outstanding free agent acquisitions, including Patricia, is Bob Quinn low-key the best GM in Lions history? The answer to that question is no.
I would say in our lifetime, yes. In history,
it's not a high bar.
In history, probably not. I think people often forget they won the equivalent of the Super Bowl, the NFC, the championships in the 50s, and the
three times
the teams that they put together in those 50s were startlingly good, and that you can attribute to the GM putting those teams together back then. So,
Nick Kerberwe.
Before my time, obviously, right? So I can't speak to that. But in my lifetime, I would say I believe Quinn is finding the way to impact the field the most productively out of the other GMs that I've paid close attention to.
Yeah, it would have been Russ Thomas, and the answer is definitely no. Chuck Schmidt,
nah.
Matt Millen, Bill Tobin, Martin Mayhew, Sheldon White, now Bob Quinn. So, yeah, he doesn't have much competition. All right, that's it. We're done for today. We got a couple of shout-outs.
Yeah, we went up. Even though we were having technical difficulties and we still managed to get up a rating and a couple reviews, Smoke on the Water expressed that he was having trouble downloading.
Unhappy.
Yeah, he gave us a 4-star because we weren't able to get the podcast up on the platforms like iTunes, but we fixed that. We fixed that now, so maybe he'll modify that. If not, we understand. That was a glitch. And then Johnny Mike had some nice things to say to us, gave us a nice 5-star, so we continue to bump up. We'd love to get some more because we're starting to see other podcasts.
Yeah, the podcast we passed has now caught us again.
Yeah, so hopefully we can keep that.
We want to push past them.
Yep, that would be awesome, right?
Yeah. All right.
So thank you guys for taking the time.
Yeah. We appreciate all the listenership. And let's get a big win on Monday night. I'm a little more subdued about it than Eric. And so until that time, let's go Lions.